This is a People First Radio podcast.
A research project in Victoria has morphed into an initiative that's helping people around the world access prosthetic arms. For more, I spoke with Michael Peroni, CEO of the Victoria Hand Project.
Hi, my name is Michael Peroni, and I'm the CEO of Victoria Hand Project.
What does the Victoria Hand Project do?
Yeah, the Victoria Hand Project is a Canadian charity organization based in Victoria that creates low-cost 3D printed prosthetic arms for lower-income areas of the world. So here in Victoria, we do the design, the engineering, and the testing of the prosthetic arms. And then we partner with clinics in developing countries or conflict-affected areas, and we teach them how to use 3D printing, 3D scanning, computer software, so they can produce these prosthetic arms in their own communities.
What's the story behind how the Victoria Hand Project got started?
It's a very interesting story. So it actually started off as a research project at the University of Victoria, run by Dr. Nick Dechev, who's a professor of mechanical engineering. And it was just to study the feasibility of 3D printed hands, like just seeing, can a prosthetic arm be made using 3D printing? And there were some trials that were done in Guatemala back in 2014. And these were just to, you know, test out the hands, you know, not really with the idea of, you know, humanitarian aid in mind. But then the participants in the study, the ones that were testing out the prosthetic arms in Guatemala, they were asking to keep the prosthetic arms since they didn't have one of their own. And this spurred the idea for Nick Dechev to start a nonprofit organization that can begin providing these prosthetic arms in areas of need.
So how does that work now in practice? How does the prosthetic arm, the technology, go from Victoria to people all around the world?
So what we will do as Victoria Hand Project is we will create partnerships with clinics. We currently have partnerships in 11 countries. And I'll give an example of our most recent expansion to Ukraine, which was in June of 2023. And our team traveled to Ukraine with the supplies, like the 3D printers, computer systems, 3D scanning systems, all of the, you know, hand tools like pliers and hammers, all the supplies that go into the prosthetic arms. And then we spent a week in two different cities teaching people how to use 3D printing and 3D scanning, like, you know, making it so they can work independently. And then we came back to Canada and they still have all the equipment, all the supplies to continue producing the arms there.
Can you tell me more about the arms, the prosthetic hands, where that technology is at in 2024?
Definitely. So the technology for the prosthetic arms, there's, you know, the Victoria Hand, which is what we produce, which is a body-powered prosthetic device. So people will wear a shoulder harness similar to many conventional prosthetic arms. And by the movement of their shoulders or extending the arm, it will cause the hand to open and close. So by doing this with, you know, just a body-powered device, no electronics in the hand, it helps keep the cost of the prosthetic very low. So it's only around $150, you know, just around 210 Canadian dollars in materials. And this is a fraction of the cost of other types of prosthetic devices. However, there also are some of those electronic arms that people will see, you know, on YouTube or, you know, social media. And those ones are actually quite expensive. Some of them, they say they're quote unquote low cost 3D printed arm. And all in, they cost someone around $10,000 out of pocket. So with our device, it is significantly cheaper since they are also made in the countries where we work. They're made by locals there. The cost of labor is a lot lower than if it's made in Canada or Europe. And it helps create jobs and transfer skills in these communities.
So the way it works basically is folks from Victoria Hand Project will go to a place with all of the maybe essential equipment to get things rolling. We'll spend some time there working with people to train them how to use that essential equipment, leave the things that you need to make the hands there, and then do the whole thing again somewhere else?
Yeah, exactly. And then we continue to also provide support to our existing partners. So even though we expanded to, say, Kenya in 2020, we continue to keep in touch with them. We will fundraise for more supplies to send them. We send out shipments from Canada. I was actually just in Kenya in October, just a brief trip because I happened to be in Rwanda. And I was helping, teach them some new skills that have, new workflows that we've developed, new prosthetic technologies. And that's part of the ongoing partnership that we have with them. We don't just give them the equipment, the supplies, and leave them be. We continue to provide the technical support and also some financial support through our fundraising.
And through that process, what have you been able to learn about some of the impact over the course of years that the project has been in place in some locations?
Seeing the impact firsthand has been quite extraordinary. I was very fortunate to travel to Nepal in 2016. Yes, I had to think back there. In 2016, when I was still a student and I was just working with Victoria Hand Project as an intern. And I saw someone who had traveled for days by bus from another part in Nepal to come to Kathmandu so he could receive prosthetic arm because he hasn't had one in 20 years just due to the costs and other barriers. And just seeing how happy, how outgoing he became after receiving a prosthetic arm was very impactful. And then since then, I've also had the opportunity to go to other parts of the world, to Kenya, which I mentioned, to Pakistan, Egypt, Haiti, and just so many of these people that would otherwise have no option, no access to a prosthetic device, seeing just how much they can light up when they receive their own customized prosthetic arm. And they think of, oh, I can now do this around the house, or I can do this at work. And it just really affords them that independence, which is so powerful. Seeing that impact directly with someone is so rewarding.
What is the situation for someone who might be needing a prosthetic arm in Canada?
So with someone receiving a prosthetic arm in Canada, we know it's different province by province, really in the territories. So like the amount of coverage, the process. So we know sort of secondhand about the process in Canada, but typically somebody can apply for a prosthetic device and it gets reviewed by a board, and then they will be given or prescribed a prosthetic device that sort of fits their needs. We also do help in Canada. So there are people that, they might not have been approved for a device, or they have a device, but they can only apply every few years for a new device. So they're looking for a secondary device or a cosmetic device, something else that can help them, but they can't afford to pay out of pocket. So that's where Victoria Hand Project will come in. And we will talk to them, see how we can help with a prosthetic arm, and really just try to help those people that might not have another way to get a prosthetic device in general, or they can't get a secondary device that might help them more in daily life.
Are there any considerations around, earlier on you mentioned that piece that the cost of prosthetic devices can vary wildly, and there are maybe electronic ones, there are some of the ones that are more low cost. Do you know, for example, in British Columbia, what kind of thing people's public health insurance would be able to cover?
I can speak to it briefly, but not being directly in the field, I don't want to misspeak. But I know that most people will receive sort of like a hook mechanism, which people may have seen, like a typical prosthetic device you might see somebody wearing or in movies or on TV. That's typically what somebody will receive. And these things, they work great. You know, they're very strong. They can do a lot of different tasks. However, outside of Canada, US, Europe, people receiving these devices, if they're to pay at the clinic, say in Kenya, it could cost them the equivalent of $2,000. And for some people, that could be the 6 months or a year of work, a year of salary. So there is that discrepancy, unfortunately, in the cost compared to the wages. Fortunately, in Canada, we do have quite good coverage. So many people, hopefully everyone, can receive a prosthetic device. There's also War Amps, which many people might be familiar with, that can also help in other sort of charitable work. And we just see ourselves as another specific option to provide this care. And we've worked with people here in Victoria, Vancouver, the Sunshine Coast. And while many of these people might have a prosthetic device, they like the function of the Victoria hand. They like that it can allow them to do unique things that their existing prosthetic device might not allow them to do. So we see it as just more options for specific tasks.
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm speaking with Michael Peroni, CEO of the Victoria Hand Project. It started from a research project that was looking at whether or not it was possible to produce effective 3D printed prosthetic arms. Now, the project creates partnerships with clinics in different parts of the world to build the capacity to create prosthetic arms for those in need. On their website, there are a number of videos in which people who have received Victoria hands share some of their experiences. Here's the testimonial from one of those videos. It's from Lewis, a 21-year-old film school student in Kenya.
I am Lewis Gatonye Njuguna. I'm 21 years old. I come from Limuru. I'm a film student at Kenyatta University. I was electrocuted by a three-phase wire. The whole process of the amputation and healing, I underwent four surgeries. Obviously, I was born with both hands, and then now I had to adjust to this new life, which I found pretty hard because in my head, I thought people will judge me, people will laugh at me, look at me different. So it was really hard for me at first. I usually put on maybe a hoodie or a jacket to hide my arm. I will place the amputated arm in my pocket so that I will at least hide and at least feel like no one is judging me and or no one will notice that I have one arm. Since I got my Victoria hand, my life has tremendously improved. I am more confident. I learned how to accept myself. I learned how to do things that I would do before. Yeah, so I can now cook ugali, I can clean my house, I can wash dishes with the Victoria hand, I can walk comfortably among people. I'm so happy because of what they are doing. They're really making an impact in people's lives, and they've made life better, made life easier, help with the healing psychologically. I'm so grateful. That is all I can say.
Now back to my conversation with Victoria Hand Project CEO Michael Peroni. Can you tell me about the scale of maybe in terms of the number of devices or arms that the project has been able to create, the capacity to create since its inception?
Yes. So we are approaching 400 people being fit with the prosthetic arms. And in the past few years, the number of people that we've helped has just grown significantly. So with the work in Ukraine, our partners there have helped, I think it's 112 people just in Ukraine. So there has been huge demand there. And then in Kenya, they've also helped another 60 or so. So it's really just, trying to help some of these clinics increase their capacity so they can just produce more prosthetic arms for more people in need. And then in some of our partner sites, they might not have as many people fit. So it's that that technical support that I mentioned, that ongoing support to help them, grow year over year to help more people in need.
And what is your capacity as an organization to do that?
So we are a smaller team. We do have three full-time staff right now, some part-time staff, student interns, and then we have a lot of student volunteers or volunteers from the community that help out with a variety of tasks. We also are quite inundated with requests from new partner sites that might want to work with us. Like, say we're in conversations with groups in India and Syria and Rwanda. Hopefully we can expand there very soon. And just being a smaller team, it is harder to take these on, but hopefully as we grow, we can grow to new communities as well and just help, help reduce barriers to prosthetic care. We have our vision going forward in the next few years to also have sort of remote production facilities. So say in Rwanda, they might be able to 3D print prosthetic arms there and then send them to neighboring countries like Burundi, the DRC. And then that could just allow more people to receive prosthetic care without, the huge capital costs of 3D printers, computers, all that equipment that's required.
As a nonprofit, what's the roadmap like to maybe have some of that growth and have the capacity to do more things? What are the next steps you need to take, or what are the maybe external factors you need to rely on?
That's a very good question. For us, we all, pretty much our entire team, we come from engineering backgrounds. So recently we've been learning the new skill set of being a charity organization and really growing awareness in the community. We feel that one of the biggest things that can lead to that continued growth from here, the local community in BC or across Canada and the US, to really allow us to reach those next steps, is to demonstrate the impact that you're asking about, to show those smiling faces of people who have received a prosthetic arm and their life has been changed. And just as we, we continue to grow, continue to fundraise in the local community, corporations have really been coming together to help us as well. We hope that that can continue to sustain this growth that we need.
Is there anything you think is important to pull from maybe that idea of this all started from a study that was, if I understand correctly, just investigating, like, can we do this thing? Can we make these tools that might help people? And in doing the study, people who were being helped said, yes, like, please do this more. And you were able to, that project was able to turn into something ongoing and sustaining. I don't know. I find that idea very fascinating. And I'm wondering if there are any things, being much closer to it, that you can pull and you can share and you think more people need to know or keep in mind about it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's quite interesting that, this started off as a research project, and without the vision or the goal of, providing prosthetic care around the world and transferring knowledge and skills. But I think one of the big things for Nick, the founder, was even just, seeing a unique opportunity when desktop 3D printing was becoming available, and which made this possible. It was just, at the right time. If it was a few years earlier, it wouldn't have been as easy to grow. I feel that, sort of the ongoing learning is important as well. The ongoing development of the prosthetic arms and the workflows to make it easier for our partners to make the arms in country. If we look back, to 2015, the the 3D printing process to create these arms, the manual assembly of the prosthetic arms, that was sometimes a little tedious. And it was, you know, getting feedback from our partners in country, and they would just say, like, this is just taking a lot of time, and you know, it's difficult. You need a skilled person to build the hands. So we've just sort of been looking for ways to make the process less time intensive, less effort intensive. And that's sort of like an ongoing thing. That's also partly our engineering minds of, you know, always just looking for ways to improve things, which sometimes comes at a detriment because we're always, you know, looking at engineering rather than, or engineering the arms, not always looking at the expansion. But we feel that through that, we've made a product, which is very good, very high quality, and is very sought after. And by making it easy to produce in country, it just allows us to quickly transfer this knowledge and equipment to people on the ground and make the project sustainable, rather than giving them something that's, you know, very complicated. They don't know how to use it and they just give up. That's not what we want to have happen. We just really want this to grow so more people can just access the care.
Is there a process where the people who have been using some of these devices have given feedback on, like, this really works about it, or like, this is a way that maybe it could even be improved that you're able to incorporate?
Yes, that definitely happened over the first few years with even that research project that I mentioned, and then a few other research projects that came after that, with the goal of refining the prosthetic hand technology to get it to a point where it is something that people actually want to use. We don't want to make a product where we're like, oh, this is amazing, people are going to love this, and then we try to get it out to the world and people are like, this is not what we need at all. So that comes in the form of, typically in the past with those research studies, it was sitting down, you know, with some of the recipients, asking them those questions, you know, when they received the hand, or you know, a few months later, and just really learning, it's like, what new features need to be added in? Is it helping people in daily life, or is it, you know, just a nice to have? And then also getting feedback from our partners, asking the people that are living in the community and asking them for that sort of feedback on, you know, what are people saying about this? Do people get the device and continue using it, or do they use it for a few days and then, you know, just sort of put on the shelf and forget about it? And I feel that that has been something that's been very important for us to ensure the sustainability. We just, you know, we want to continue that ongoing feedback process. And then now, even though the prosthetic hand has been refined over many years and the feedback doesn't come as often, there still are things that people mention. We think, oh yeah, that could be good to add in. It could be, you know, make the hand more functional. It could make it more, you know, easier to use, improve the cosmetic appearance, things like that.
If people are interested by the project and they are maybe even looking to help out, what can they do?
They can go to our website at victoriahandproject.com. And there we have a lot more information that people can read on our prosthetic devices. They can see some of the beneficiaries wearing our prosthetic devices who have directly been helped. And then if people want to financially support the organization, they can also make a donation through that. We are a registered Canadian charity, so people can support us and receive tax benefits for that. People can also follow us on social media. We're also posting a lot of really exciting stuff, you know, whether that's beneficiaries directly telling people through the camera how the hand has helped them, or, you know, just showing some of the recent fittings. It's a really great way to keep in touch on what's been going on. And then tell their friends and family. I mean, that's always big. We're trying to grow awareness in the community. And I feel that just even, you know, mentioning it to people that they know, you know, this unique use of 3D printing that's happening just at the southern tip of the island is always exciting. You feel that, you know, the local community here in BC, Vancouver Island, has been so supportive of us over the past few years. It's, you know, the support has really allowed us to grow to where we are now, working in these 11 countries. And we feel that, you know, this unique use of this technology, just being, you know, here in Victoria, it always gets people quite excited. You know, it's not in, you know, New York or, you know, San Francisco or something. It's just here in Victoria.
Is there anything else you think it's important to highlight to people about the Victoria Hand Project?
Well, I do want to mention that we do have an ongoing fundraiser to support prosthetic care in Ukraine. It's for Giving Tuesday campaign, so people can directly, you know, be a part of giving someone a prosthetic device. We always do like to hear from people as well. If you're, you know, interested, if you have any questions, please reach out to us over email, social media, everything like that. But I really just appreciate having the opportunity to share a little bit more about Victoria Hand Project. So thank you so much.
Victoria Hand Project CEO, Michael Peroni.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.